Andy Rice, our branding and advertising expert, on the line to us from Johannesburg this evening. Self-isolating on steroids, I'm hoping, Andy Rice.
Of course. I'm a good boy.
Excellent. Good to hear. The lockdown, are we communicating it clearly enough?
Well, yeah, we spoke about it last week, inevitably, and I expressed a view that it probably needed a more coordinated effort from private and public sectors. And while we've seen a substantial amount of advertising in terms of quantity on the subject, I'm not convinced that we've yet got it right in terms of quality, because I don't think there is a single coordinated campaign. And the message that's coming through more than any other is telling you what to do, i.e. wash your hands, keep your distance, etc., and not why you should be doing it. And this is where social advertising like this, which is trying to make a behavior change happen amongst the wider population, this is where it often falls down, that it fails to understand that just telling people what to do is not enough. What you need to do is to make it worth their while, emotionally probably, rather than rationally, to adhere to the rules and to be part of the endeavor.
Dare I ask for an example? I mean, just in terms of how practically this could be done, in terms of improving the way in which we communicate in crisis times.
Well, Bruce, I can't give you the answer, so to speak. This is the line you should use or the message you should take, give out there. But what I can do is say that I think there are some good examples recently of major campaigns that have understood that it's the why more than the what. So if we go back to the election of our good friend Donald Trump, he eschewed any great campaign built around pie charts and GDP gaps and Chinese this and Chinese that, and instead simplified his whole campaign down to make America great again. And that's what people really wanted to do. They didn't want to be bored with the data. They wanted to be part of that kind of movement. Same with Brexit, really. I think the main reason that Boris Johnson was successful in the end was that phrases like take back control were much more persuasive than many other campaigns that had spoken about how much money we were spending in Brussels and all the things they went on about. Keep it simple, keep it emotive, and keep it relevant. If you do those three, and that's been happening over the years. Nothing's changed. Human nature hasn't changed in what it responds to. You can go right back to the world wars and recall those posters that originally featured, I think, Lord Kitchener pointing an accusing finger at you, saying, "Your country needs you." I mean, that image has been used over and over again, and it still seems to resonate. But then there was another nice example from the late 60s in the UK, where the economy was in turmoil and doing really badly, and nothing seemed to be working in terms of getting people to take the appropriate action, until four secretaries from a ventilation company in Surbiton in Surrey decided that they would take some action of their own, and they were going to offer to work an extra hour. I think initially they suggested every day, but it turned out in the end that it was an hour every week for no extra salary. So they were improving, in theory, their productivity. And it was all marketed under the banner of "I'm backing Britain." And it really swept through the media and through society, and it became a significant social movement. I'm not sure what the results were like. Probably need to look it up and see. Maybe not as good as the engagement, but it really got people talking and, yes, even singing.
Yeah, I mean, singing, I suppose, is part of this idea. So let's hear the song. I can't believe this worked, actually, but Bruce Forsyth, you would have known him from the dancing show. What was that thing? Strictly Come Dancing, Bruce Forsyth, the late Bruce Forsyth, but this is him giving it stick.
I'm back in Britain, yes, I'm back in Britain. We're all back in Britain today. The feeling is growing, so let's keep it going. The good times are
it's of an era, Andy. I'll say that.
even by the 60s standards, that's quite cheesy, I have to say. But everybody at the time, I'm told, was walking around humming it and singing it, and it really got the message through. Now, I'm not saying for one moment that it would be appropriate to have a sung a message around the coronavirus. All I'm saying is that what you need to do when you are deciding how to communicate is to make sure you're doing more than just giving people a list of instructions. You need to make sure you're involving them in the whole movement for their own benefit and for the benefit of their immediate circle. Now, that's what I think we have yet to do.
Yeah, so lecturing has its limitations. You've got to get people to really buy in. It's heart stuff, and then minds, as tons of propagandists over many, many, many generations have taught us.
Yeah, completely. And I think that if you don't do that, you're going to spend a lot of money telling people what they already know. I think most people know about some of the things that we've been communicating. And unless, of course, I could be wrong in the sense that because I'd probably fall outside the mass market demographic, that there may be stuff going on there that I don't know about. And I'd be delighted to hear if there is, but I suspect not. I suspect all we've seen thus far from the government and maybe the new fund with big business support will make a difference. But I think all we've seen so far is very informative and very striking, but not very motivating.
Right, let's move on to heroes, please, Andy, because we need heroes in these dark times.
Don't we just? Yeah, well, I've got a sort of smattering of lesser heroes. Then they're interesting pieces of communication, and no one of the three that I'm going to mention is particularly stronger than the others, but I was struck by a little commercial that appeared at the start of an ad break on, I think, on DSTV, which essentially just said, why not use this advertising break to go and wash your hands? Now, that seemed to me a very clever use of the particular space. I'm not sure where it came from. It was probably DSTV themselves, or else I missed any branding attached to it. But it was just nice. It made it more than just, hey, go and wash your hands. It made you think, well, how can I use the next 2 minutes in the best possible way? And I liked that. I thought that was clever media choice, clever communication.
Okay, but you don't just have one hero, because you're feeling particularly magnanimous this evening.
Absolutely. My second one is our old friends SARS, our South African Revenue Services, who one doesn't normally feel you have anything in the way of a relationship with. And if anything, it's more likely to be confrontational than mutually supportive. But I got an email this week from SARS thanking me for my diligence and my compliance with the rules and regulations. It said, the South African Revenue Service thanks you for complying with your tax obligations under registration number blah, 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 blah. And your consistency in filing your monthly and annual payroll tax returns and et cetera, et cetera. So it went on. All quite, the language is quite sort of SARS-ish. But I feel a little bit better now. I feel a bit warmer towards SARS that they take the trouble to write back. I'm under no illusions that this was not Pravin Gordhan or anyone else sitting down and writing to me. It was absolutely an issue of automatic email responses. But that's fine. That's fine. I don't care. It's made me feel a little bit better about SARS.
But this is the hearts and minds stuff. I mean, this is it's a very clever way of, you know who your taxpayers are. You've got their email addresses. And frankly, with the fiscus as fraught and as stretched as it is and is going to be for a long time to come, the one group of people we have to be a hell of a lot nicer to a lot more often is compliant taxpayers.
Yeah, exactly. Every cent counts. And then my last one, Bruce, is not so much a particular campaign, but just to draw people's attention to, I think, a very creative and entertaining, in a time when we need all the entertainment we can get, series of cartoons on the subject of marketing. It's produced by a guy called Tom Fishburne. I think he's a Canadian. It's called Marketoonist. You have to subscribe to get the stuff, but about once a week in your in-tray lands a nice little witty cartoon, which clearly shows that he has spent time in the marketing industry, because it just points out the little foibles. Like in this case, the latest one that came through this week has two marketing executives talking to each other, and the one is saying, some brand we apparently gave an email address to 3 or 4 years ago wants us to know they're here for us in this difficult time. And that makes a marketer smile, any business person smile. And you might say, well, it's what's behind the SARS letter that also got a hero. So yeah, I just think it's nice that we can laugh at ourselves as marketing people as well as laugh at others.
I think it's absolutely important. Andy Rice, thank you. He is our branding and advertising expert on The Money Show.